Hey there, it's David Chen here.
And Renee Wade. And welcome to another session of Attraction Control Insights, where we interview leading experts in the field of dating and relationships.
You see, here's the thing. In the many years that we've been teaching, coaching, and helping women, we've realized that there's no faster way to make progress than to have multiple perspectives from people who are the leaders of their field.
And this is why we've found the best experts to share with us their knowledge and experience in finding love, triggering attraction, establishing that loyalty and trust, and frankly, having the relationship that other people envy.
So we really think you're going to enjoy this interview. I suggest you sit back, take some notes, and let's get started. Hi there, this is David from thefemininewoman.com. I am thrilled to be here with you today, and I think you're really going to enjoy this session. Now, the theme of this session today is how not to be boring with men and get the commitment from the one that you want. And so I have the pleasure of introducing you to a man who's going to join me today in this session, who's helped literally hundreds and hundreds of women in dating and relationships. He's the author of several popular books on Amazon, and I think one of the reasons why he's reached such popularity is because he's just added so much value to the people that he's influenced, and he's able to come from a brand new perspective, a fresh view on this whole dating and relationship thing for women. And recently he was invited by Cosmopolitan magazine to share his thoughts about women in dating and relationships. And you know, the thing that I just love about this man's work is that he's just so honest and so authentic about just about everything that he writes about and talks about. And you know, in this market where, you know, there's just so much BS going on, I think when you hear him talk, you'll realize straight away that he doesn't fluff around. And so this is a gentleman that, you know, I have a lot of respect for, and I think you're really going to enjoy what he has to share with you today. So his name, of course, is Mike Masters. Welcome, Mike. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you for the glowing introduction there.
Thank you for joining us. I've been waiting a while to speak to you and to hear your insights into all of this, because I know you've got a blog. You had a blog for quite a few years and had some great fans there, and you know, and you had some amazing feedback, and I just wanted, you know, share with everyone your thoughts about women in dating and relationships, you know, how to attract their perfect man. And how about you know, we'll have you talk about why did you decide to help women in dating? I mean, where did this whole story for you start?
Okay, first of all, I want to correct something. You said hundreds and hundreds. I get about 30,000 unique views a month on my website, and I sell quite a few thousand books a month. So hopefully I'm in the hundreds of thousands. I would like to be there. And that feels good saying, because in years past, I'd say, I've helped hundreds of women. No, it's much higher now. And men as well, hundreds of thousands. So hopefully the private seminars, the large Tony Robbins seminars, are on their way. But
yeah, I'm sure you'll get an invite very soon.
All right. So how did I get started? This kind of baffles me, as it does my father, who's confused how I can do this without having a degree. But I started as I'm a nutritional biochemist, and I worked in weight loss. I specialized in weight loss because I was a bit chubby as a kid, and also quite feminine. I always got along with women more than men.
Right.
And so with the weight loss, I discovered that all the same things holding people back with weight loss were the same reasons why people had so many struggles in relationships. And it just simply boiled down to the separation of the conscious and unconscious mind. And so the things that we do that we can't explain and that we tend to ignore but just still frustrate us, that's the unconscious mind.
Yep.
And so I started to dig a little bit more into relationships by accident, because a lot of my female friends would be calling me. I said, no. The reason he's doing this is because of this, and the reason you're doing that is because you want this. So the conscious mind has really no idea, and it's just kind of running blindly. It thinks it's in control, but really the subconscious is in control, the animal mind. And the animal mind wants to do pretty much one thing, and that's procreate.
Absolutely, absolutely. It seems like, I mean, you saying that, that is something that I write about, I talk about all the time. It's what Seth Godin talks about, the lizard brain, and, you know, and there's the three brain theory by, I think it was Paul McLean. You know, that's a lot of what I teach as well. So, yeah, that's amazing that you tell women that. So what are women's responses when you tell them that?
The first thing I get is immediate. I either get immediate acceptance and kind of like a relief because they're like, oh, God, I'm not crazy. And same with a lot of men. But then I also get the exact opposite, which is strong, strong rejection, because a lot of people don't like to believe that they're not fully in control of their life and their decisions. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm going to throw it at them right away. I say, hey, have you ever had a successful diet? Oh, no. Why do you think that is? And it's because your limbic brain has a different agenda. And it's going to – the analogy I like to use is called the elephant and the rider. Mm-hmm. So the limbic brain, the one that wants to rut all the time with the wrong person, is the elephant. And the rider is your conscious mind that's saying, go this way, go that way. But yeah. The second that the elephant – you know, he smells the female in heat or he sees some food, he wants to rip down a banana tree, he's going to ignore the conscious mind and say, no, screw you, I'm going that way. So our goal in life, if we really want to be happy, is to sync up the – and we talked before that there really is no happiness, but it does it does certainly help us make better decisions if we are in line with our elephant, if our rider and our elephant are cool with each other's decisions. And so when the elephant wants to go rut, the rider says, okay, that's cool, but do it this way. You know?
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Wear a condom and don't lie. So, and you see what I'm saying?
Absolutely. And I think the more you discover this, the more you realize how strong the elephant is compared to the rider. I mean, the rider has absolutely almost no power compared to the amount of power that the elephant actually has.
Oh, it's terrifying. I mean, you ask any alcoholic.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. I think I heard one person describing it as, you know, if you don't believe this theory that your subconscious mind is way, way, way more powerful than your conscious mind, just try and not eat for a whole day. Just try and fast for a whole day, 24 hours. And, yeah. And you realize that, you know, in like 12 hours later, your conscious brain will be making all the excuses in the world to get you to eat.
Yeah. And why does the conscious brain make all these excuses? Is because the elephant is sending the lies. And the elephant likes to mask its existence because it doesn't want you to wrest control from it. And so it gives the conscious brain this feeling of arrogance that it's in control so the elephant can sneakily do its own thing. You know? And this is why if you're a woman or man and you might have inappropriate sex with the wrong person, the elephant says, drink a little bit more. See that tequila over there? Why don't you take a shot? So the elephant brain is really in control. But you still consciously can't affect it as long as you accept that you're going to lose control. You first have to – if you're going to train a puppy – you have to accept the fact that he will pee on the rug and you can't be angry with him. That's his nature. That's her nature.
Absolutely. And I love your analogy as well. It is our elephants that we're dealing with.
Yeah, I love that. There's another analogy of two steering wheels. One, there's a gorilla, and then the other steering wheel is you. And the gorilla sees McDonald's, and he grabs a steering wheel and veers off the road. And you're just not as strong as the gorilla. I like Elephant and the Rider a little bit more because that kind of really portrays how massive this childish brain is. And it's not that bright. It makes terrible decisions.
Absolutely. But, absolutely. I totally agree. I think it was it was Seth Godin who said our lizard brain, our primitive brain, is only wants food, sex, shelter, and, you know, nothing else. It's all about power and money and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And once I think we understand that, I think we can actually consciously make our lives better and make our relationships better. Just by having that awareness.
Absolutely. Just by, first of all, accepting and almost surrendering to a certain degree.
Yeah.
Like, for example, I drink too much.
Yep.
and people say to me, dude, you got to slow down. I says, I'll slow down when I feel enough pain. And I feel a level of pain, and I haven't had anything to drink for about a week because I really want to be writing. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoy writing. So I don't force change upon myself. I allow change to happen. Mm-hmm. And I let my elephant be stupid very often. But there are certain places where I absolutely draw the line, and I absolutely will not let my elephant lie.
Yep.
And that was a tough one because in the past I'm like, well, if my girlfriend doesn't know I cheated on her, did it really happen? So, you know, and then the elephant is busy sending justifications to my conscious mind because the elephant wants to rut.
Yep.
And now I finally had to say, if I really want to have a better quality of life and a better quality partner, and I don't want to feel anxiety because I'm dishonest and self-hate because I'm dishonest, I need to make a rule and explain to my elephant that this cannot happen.
Yes, yes. I think that's so important in relationships. I mean, so many people just they don't have these rules, and then they do things and that they regret, and then they live in fear and anxiety, and then it's just like a downward spiral where it's almost impossible to recover from.
Yeah. And it's this downward spiral of self-hate and self-loathing because you think, well, God, why am I not strong enough? Why can't I do it? Why can't I finish my homework in time?
Exactly.
Because the elephant brain is lazy.
Exactly. I think we've all been fed the wrong ideas to start off with.
Yes.
You know, I think we're all being fed that we should be good and we should do this at this time and be organized. But that's not how it works, you know. That is just simply not how our subconscious brain works.
No.
And we never really got the education about how that works. And therefore, why a lot of people get into trouble.
And this is, you know, exactly where this comes from, is the elephant likes to hide its existence. So how can anybody know this is for the elephant is busy trying to hide because it wants what it wants. I don't remember who the speaker was, but it was a speaker on TED. And
yep.
And she was on, maybe you know which I'm, what I'm talking about, but it was on human sexuality, I believe. And she said, human beings are not wired to be happy. And
yes.
And what I took away from that, I do disagree with her, but what I did take away from that is that our two brains are a contradiction.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, what society teaches us and what is programmed by, you know, millions of years of evolution just don't fit. And this is what most people don't understand, is that we have two brains. And
yes.
the prefrontal lobes, evolutionarily speaking, are brand spanking new.
Yes.
They're brand new. And you know, and then they're trying to operate in the framework of not a million-year-old bit of evolution, but billions of years of evolution. That's what our primitive brain is. That's the power it has. You can drop a little bit of chemical onto that limbic brain, and all of a sudden you're crying because, you know,
you don't know why.
And you don't know why. And
yeah.
The conscious brain says, what the hell is wrong with me? And just go with it.
Yeah, exactly. I think they've done a lot of studies and they discovered that people with certain brain injuries, they had this phenomenon, and where there's a separation between the conscious and the subconscious brain, and they couldn't explain why they do what they do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think the TED Talk, I think that was perhaps Helen
yeah.
Fisher. Helen
yeah.
Fisher.
That's exactly who that was. Yeah.
Yes, we got her book, and big fan of her stuff. And I've talked a lot about the different brains, and it's amazing what you understand and realize when you get that it's not you who's controlling you,
mm-hmm.
and it's in fact that the common blueprint, the common DNA that's controlling most of us, all of us.
Yeah. Yep,
and
yep. You're outside the system.
Absolutely.
You're pushing buttons on a computer that doesn't want to listen.
Yeah, and I think for women as well, once you understand a man's, you know, blueprint and how men operate, I think you're going to have such an easier time with men, where you know you're not going to be confused, you're not going to struggle to get their attention because you know how they work.
Yes.
And
because when you attract a man, or you said not to be boring with a man,
mm-hmm.
You're not speaking to his conscious mind. You're mm-hmm. speaking to his limbic brain, the one that wants to, you know, put semen inside of you. That's as simple as it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
And to be fair, you want to get pregnant and have babies. That's what your limbic brain wants to do.
Absolutely.
That's the agenda. And the conscious brain just muddles all this up. And it says, but I really want to have a nice house and I want a nice job. I says, no, you just want to eat and fuck. That's really all you want.
Absolutely.
And to be entertained. That's the other thing.
and of course, a lot of women listening right now may go, whoa.
Yeah, sorry about that. I am a little raw.
That's not me, but I guess, it's not your intention to say that everyone's like that, but there's a part of us that only care about shelter, food, and sex. That's all, because that's what we're built for.
Yep.
Or else you wouldn't be here. Or else your gene pool wouldn't be here. Simply as that.
Yeah, and that part of us is the base of all our behaviors. And even though it looks so complicated on the surface, it's really not. We want to find a good partner. We want to settle down and have a child. Even though most studies say that people after they have children are far less happy.
Right. Well, that's probably the case with the lottery as well. The lottery winners, where studies have shown that lottery winners are actually way less happy and have less money 5 years after they win their big win.
I think that's for slightly different reasons. I won't get into it, but I think that's mainly because it's too big a leap. It's too far outside of somebody's comfort zones.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And comfort zones don't move that quickly. So even for my own business, I'm actually afraid of how quickly my income is increasing, which sounds ridiculous. And the reason I'm afraid of it is because, what if somebody takes this away? Oh, God.
Absolutely.
It's like, this is a high-quality problem. actually a little silly. But I hope we're not getting off a track here with the elephant and rider, as fascinating as it is.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the answer to a lot of questions.
It's the base.
Yeah. I think that's the number one thing that women have to understand is that what you want and what men want are all driven by their primitive brains. And once you understand that, you would have so much less stress and anxiety about it, because it's always going to be the same kind of stuff.
So
much more predictable. So it's not going to be, is he interested in me? Is he into me? It's more about how can I, be more attractive by triggering this or triggering that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, it isn't that difficult. You don't have to deconstruct everything. You can be yourself. Mm-hmm. I would say, though, that women do kind of need to deconstruct their own actions. And if they have slept with a guy 3 times and they're thinking about serious commitment, they have to say, whoa, 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 what is my elephant doing right now?
Yep.
Do I even know this guy yet?
Yep.
No, I don't.
Yep.
So where is this coming from? Is this valid? No, it's probably not.
Yep.
And so, it's very, very helpful to understand your own elephant, and you're not going to be pushing for a situation that's inappropriate.
For sure, for sure. So would you say that would be the biggest mistake when it comes to dating for a lot of women? It's just not having this understanding of their own subconscious brain.
That's everybody's issue.
Right.
I mean, a lot of us don't have the introspection to stop our irrational behavior. And, we get jealous and I still do it as much as I understand it. You know, my girlfriend says to me, I slept with that guy over there. And I'm like, oh, God, I just feel violence coming on. And it's just it's totally irrational. But I caught it and I said, I need to go somewhere. Don't talk to me for a little while. I need to have a talk with myself.
And yes.
Basically, I had to talk down my elephant, which was running around trumpeting.
Yes, I think we definitely have to catch our own elephants, because I think, in the primitive world, we just get caught, we get hooked on things, and that's how we survived.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that threatened our reproductive value and our survival. So it's intuitive for us to just get hooked, but we really, in this day and age, we live in cities of, thousands and millions of people. We have to tone down and catch ourselves when, I guess, we get hooked by our elephant.
Yeah, yeah. And And in a world of birth control and prophylactics, none of this stuff means the same thing. We can mate and not have the repercussions.
True.
And that's where so many of the repercussions come from with women, is that it is extremely biologically costly to have sex with a man. But for a man, it's not biologically costly. It's just not, because he can run away and mate with another woman.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
So that's where this comes from. That's where the wanting to cling to a man comes from, because it's so expensive. If she gets pregnant, she needs that guy. And but if you understand, the conscious mind understands, well, I'm on birth control. What's my fucking problem? But that doesn't work, you know? We're in this new age where these consequences are no longer there, but the elephant response is the same.
Yes, absolutely. So talking about commitment, how would you sort of advise women to, I guess, inspire commitment from a man if, you know, they've slept together 3 times? And, you know, how should she go about that?
Okay. Well, first of all, she's got to ask herself, you know, is this really, really a valid relationship? Is this something that is commitment truly the next step I need to be taking? Mm-hmm. Because in every situation, relationship speaking, the man needs to be taking the lead.
Yep.
He needs to be one that and a lot of Western women really fight against this one. But you should never be taking the initiative with the man and the relationship. You should never be the one saying, hey, where is this going? Or, hey, I haven't heard from you in a while. Let's go to dinner. Or, hey, you jackass, why don't you fucking call me? That's all things that push men away. And these things just shatter commitment. They shatter any male interest in commitment, because all of a sudden you put fear into him. And And I think I mentioned to you before, I'm working on a new book called He Won't Marry You, 101 Reasons Why and What to Do About It.
Nice. Okay.
So, yeah, coming up with 101 reasons was actually not that hard.
Right. Okay. Would you mind sharing some of that?
Okay. I would say the number one thing that, I mean, of course, there's male and female differences, but The number one thing is, from the male perspective, the man envisions relationship and commitment as a form of jail.
Yes.
And this is a really uncomfortable thing for women to perceive, is the fact that they are a jail cell. You know, they're a jail cell with the door wide open, and maybe they have a couple of guys visiting at the same time. But if you want that one guy to stay and you walk up and you start trying to close the door, he's going to go, whoa, 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 I didn't choose this, and he's going to run out of the room.
Absolutely.
He has to be the one that say, I like this jail cell, I'm going to close the door. And I apologize for that analogy, because it sounds so horrible, but this really is how the animal brain perceives this, because what are you taking away from him? You're taking away from him sex with all these millions of women he would love to sleep with. And I'm not exaggerating when I say most men would love to impregnate an entire country. And not only that, you're taking it's a huge, huge financial risk for him.
Totally agree.
You know, commitment is the next stage to marriage. And so he's thinking, oh, Lord, you know, I get serious with this girl. Not only am I sexually exclusive, and I don't want to be a liar, and chances are he might lie anyway, but financially, what if it doesn't work? He loses half. Maybe he's witnessed his parents go through miserable divorces, and the jail cell becomes less and less attractive.
Yeah, absolutely. And if he's been cheated on before, you know, he has less trust in women altogether. And I think with us males, that there is a hidden fear in all of us that what if the baby that comes out isn't even ours, and we've invested, you know, every single cent of our, you know, hard-earned cash, and we work 40, 50 hours, 60 hours a week, and, you know, what if it's not even our genes, even though that may seem selfish, but on an evolutionary point of view, that is what we're here for.
Yeah.
To pass our own genes.
And I'm sure you've heard the same studies where it's something 10 to 15% of all children are not of the parentage they think.
Yeah. I think the stats are even higher in the UK. Unfortunately for them, I think it's one in five or one in four.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, well, I think that a study originally came from blood testing, which, you know, that kills about, that's a 10% fudge factor, maybe even more. So if it were DNA testing, it would most likely be higher.
Wow.
I've also written quite a bit about infidelity, and we're finding infidelity rates are starting to match male infidelity rates. They always lagged about 10%, 5 to 10% behind, but now they're starting to match. And so there's even more fear with the Western male. You know, the woman doesn't need him as much. She's independent. She doesn't need him financially. So the chances that she's going to be at the gym or at Starbucks and she's going to meet Hunkosaurus, you know, that's quite a bit higher. So marriage is dangerous. Marriage is costly. Commitment is costly.
For sure. Absolutely agree with you. Can I just get your thoughts on the idea of the institution of marriage? Because there are lots of people for it, lots of people against it. would you want to get into that one?
Absolutely. Because if you asked me 1 year ago, I'd have a radically different answer.
Right.
I probably would have said, I think it's ludicrous. I'm engaged. I'm engaged and I'm going to be married in May.
Nice.
So, yeah, and I don't want to look back.
Congratulations.
And the reason, thank you. I have finally met somebody that I could not live without, and that's what it comes down to for me. It's like I met somebody that is so important to me that I absolutely cannot live without her. She makes my life so much better in so many ways, and she's my best friend.
Oh, fantastic.
And
fantastic. I'm so glad I'm interviewing you now and not a year ago.
Well, so I probably would have stressed open relationships and said, hey, you got to work with the elephant because it's not going to listen.
So what has why this particular woman? I'm sure a lot of women would be asking you, you know, going from the extreme of, you know, you wouldn't settle for anything other than an open relationship to know now you're happily engaged. What's the difference? You know?
Honestly, I mean, I'm 38 years old. I've been through a ridiculous amount of relationships, sexual and serious dating. I've seen everything. I've done everything. Nothing that put me in the hospital, but about. So there, that was a dirty joke. I guess you didn't get it. I've kind of felt like at 38 that I hit an apex and I really wasn't going to find anybody that exceptional. And so I kind of figured that I was going to have to settle. And the girl that I was seeing, and which is totally against my own rules, but if I did settle, I would settle in an open relationship and say, hey, you're pretty cool, but I need to be involved in with other people to feel fulfillment. Yep. Otherwise, I wouldn't bother to get married. I just say, no. And a lot of people aren't going to like that. But the world's changing, and open relationships are becoming more and more common.
Definitely.
And a lot of studies are showing that these people are showing, you know, higher levels of comfort in the relationship and because they're working with their elephant and not just against societal norms.
Absolutely. Yep.
So what makes her special? Well, let me tell you a brief bit about her. She's ex-mafia. She's the toughest girl I've ever seen in my life, and she's only 95 pounds. Her kung fu is ridiculous, and she could clearly kick my ass. And she's still so incredibly tough, but she's outrageously kind. She's outrageously honest. She supports a lot of the homeless people in our area. I live in Vietnam.
Yep.
She refuses to help anybody that is on drugs. She'll help somebody that a foreigner that comes here that has a problem. She immediately helped them and without wanting anything back. I found somebody that I respect and I share values with, which is one aspect of attraction is commonality.
Yep.
And I share all these things with her, and in fact, in some ways, she certainly excels. And now we start tripping into the area of sexual tension. She has qualities that I cannot match, mm-hmm. and I'm so incredibly impressed with some of these qualities. I mean, she will, whenever there's any problem with the police or mafia, she's 3-4 steps ahead, and she ends up just shutting down the police. And, you know, being mafia, that's not a big problem, but... So, granted, the knife wounds are a little intimidating, but...
Wow, she sounds like a tough chick, but at the same time, soft as well.
Absolutely, and she understands. She understands me. She's not. Ever violent or severely argumentative. So, I know how to set my boundaries with her, and vice versa. Because she's such a strong woman, she absolutely walked on every partner she's ever had.
I can imagine so. And there's so many people out there just so passive. And especially women, I think women get this idea that passiveness is letting a man take charge, or passiveness is femininity, or passiveness is, you know, what she needs to be. But I think the idea is being strong but being soft at the same time. And it's not so much about being passive, because I think passive, I mean, that gives me the idea of a floppy fish, a dead fish.
Absolutely. It's not sexy. So,
no.
You know, granted, she knows how to set boundaries with me as well, and says, no, this is unacceptable. You can't do this. Fortunately, I'm advanced enough in relationships that I was already way ahead of her. And
yep.
But the interesting part is she is very aggressive. She's very masculine. She looks like a boy. I showed her. I showed my parents a picture of her, and they said, "Is that her son?" I was like, "No, that's her." So my little tomboy girlfriend. And with that said, I said before that I'm very feminine. So we have another level of sexual tension here, is that we're filling in roles. I'm taking on a more feminine role, and she's taking on a masculine role. But that doesn't mean I'm the female in the relationship, because she still wants me to lead the dance.
Yes.
So yeah. She's very comfortable with that. I take her out to dinner. I make certain choices, and she loves it. And so this is the first time in her life that she's actually felt like a woman, where she didn't have to take care of her husband.
Wow. Okay.
Right. So you asked me how could I be attracted to this woman. This is, well, first of all, we had commonality. We had some of that we believed in some of the exact same things. Our sense of right and wrong was dead on. Our moral compasses were exactly the same. And so, boom, there was respect. Then next, there was a lot of sexual tension, ton of sexual tension, because I met this incredibly intelligent girl, and I believe I'm a very intelligent guy. So, boom, right away we had respect built on something positive. And we filled in a different role, masculine and feminine, and that's another form of sexual tension.
Yep.
Attraction is one of them. I am very attracted to petite women. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even though I've dated much more beautiful girls, but that just really doesn't matter.
Because I read on your blog a little while ago that, you know, you had a post that was titled "Beautiful Women and Men Who Are Tired of," I won't use the word that you used, but basically, yeah, screwing them.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that it is in your opinion that attractive women get boring. A lot of them get boring altogether.
I have a good analogy for very attractive men, very attractive women.
Uh-huh.
They're very similar to a restaurant right on the beach. And mm-hmm. Let me ask you something. Does that restaurant need to serve good food if there are a stream of customers every day?
Well, not necessarily, no.
No, they can serve shit food because the location is so good. So what that means is that the location is so good that the beautiful man, beautiful woman, they never have to develop who they are. They never have to be a better person. They never have to be stimulating. They never have to be engaging. So they're just... Now, there are certainly exceptions, because I'm a good-looking guy. But the majority, because people tend to be lazy, they're going to take this free payout. Hey, I'm hot. Why do I need to be any better?
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. It's like the the ones who are not attractive growing up, they actually develop, you know, a personality and, yeah, you know, something that's interesting about themselves.
They didn't get a free handout. They didn't get free attention. You know, they didn't get spoiled. And so many people are just spoiled, same as a child.
Mm.
And we can look at Hollywood and just see disgusting examples of it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Would you say that intelligence is something that you really value in a woman?
I think I actually mentioned this in the same post. And I talked about, I love mixing science with relationships and sexuality, and because I'm a man, I'm an analytic. So there's actually a theory that Darwin created that really never got, it was never taught in schools because it wasn't mathematically provable. And recently it's been mathematically provable. And his theory, it was on sexual selection.
Yes. And yes, I knew you were going to talk about this too. I've done a lot of research in this in the last couple of months. And yes, very, very fascinating theory.
It is fascinating.
But continue.
Okay, well, a lot of people believe for kind of silly reasons that the brain developed, oh, because of gossip, or the brain developed because we needed to hunt in groups. And no, that's, I don't believe that. That wouldn't create such a ridiculously large brain that made childbirth hell and made raising a child extremely difficult. I mean, how long do we have to take care of our children? Let's look at a horse, you know.
Absolutely.
Pop a horse is out, he's upstanding, and in 6 months he's an adult. I mean, that's so what would drive this massive head of ours? So I'll give you a quick example. Let's take a really ugly bird called a peacock, and the female, which is very unattractive, and then a long, long time ago, the male probably wasn't very attractive either, but he had a little bit of plumage in the back, and the female said, whoa, you're kind of hot, and so the women started choosing, sexually selecting for a sexier and sexier tail, and that tail grew and grew and grew until the point where predation stopped it. Mm-hmm. Where the male peacock couldn't get away as fast, and then he died off.
Yes.
And this is the same thing that has happened with human beings, is the size of our head and the size of a woman's hips have stopped that development.
Yes, or else I think I read that women wouldn't be able to walk anymore.
No, they would just, and not only that, but the difficulty of raising young would probably be also the limiting factor. Of course, that part is no longer an issue, but certainly hip size is.
Yep. Yep.
So what is the offshoot of this? The offshoot is that everybody misunderstands how sexy intelligence is. It is incredibly sexy. It's how we've evolved. We look at an intelligent person and we feel a level of respect. And people are attracted to power, and so much of that power is in intelligence. When you can look at somebody, you can say that person is amazing. And intelligence isn't simple. It's a many faceted thing. You have creative intelligence. Maybe you have physical intelligence. Maybe you have interpersonal intelligence
or emotional intelligence.
Emotional intelligence.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And if you have these things, you have more than the other person. And what a lot of us don't understand about attraction is we are looking to fill the gap of what is missing in ourself. So, you wanted to interject?
No, go ahead, sorry.
Okay, so let's take our best friend. We have a level of commonality with our best friend, but very often our friend is bringing something to the table that we don't possess. So all of us want to become a whole person that can do everything, that, you know, they're tough, have the ability to defend their family, and they're also very empathetic. And we want to be a well-rounded person that has all these characteristics. So we're attracted to, we bring into our life the people that have the things we're lacking.
Yes. Yep. Yes. And I guess intelligence, I mean, when you say intelligence, I guess a lot of women think, oh, go to university? Is that what you mean? You know, should I read lots of books? What is intelligence? How could a woman become more of an intellect in that particular sense?
I would say developing any skill that you currently have, just following that path down and enjoying the growth. And because we're here to experience, we're here to enjoy life. And we talked a little bit before about how not to be boring to men. Well, you know, that people, like I said before, we want to eat, we want to have sex, and we also don't want to be bored. And so bringing something new to the table, let's say your acting ability, and that's something interesting for the man. You bring something that he's not able to do. And you know, maybe it's even like the last girl I dated was a makeup artist, and she was phenomenally good. And even though I have no interest in makeup, I respected her artistic intelligence. I was very impressed by her abilities and by her creativity. That was something that excited me and interested me.
Yeah, I think that I'm sure you respected that of her as well, because she had that skill, and it's a focus of fascination even.
Yes, absolutely, because it's something that I don't have to the same degree, and then she's also quite interested in me for the exact same reasons. Is I'm very analytical. I can pick things apart. I understand how systems work. And when her car broke on the freeway, I fixed it in 15 minutes. And she's like, "Holy shit, that's cool."
You know?
So I'll give you a quick example that I think everyone can relate to. I think all of us have had a crush on, you know, a singer or a movie star.
Uh-huh.
And why did we have that crush? Well, because not only because this person is, you know, adored by everybody, which is very interesting. We want what everybody else wants, but also because they've taken their art to an extreme. And they're so incredibly phenomenal. I mean, you can just sit at a bar and watch the lead singer, and if he or she is attractive, you feel that attraction because you appreciate and respect their art and their intelligence and their abilities. That's sexy.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with you there. I think we have evolved to kind of appreciate creativity and intelligence. And I think I once heard some of the, like, Michelangelo and Picasso, they were fantastic with women because they were so creative, even though they abused their women, even though they were chain smokers, or, you know, they were probably terrible human beings, but, you know, women were glued to them.
Yeah, Einstein was, you know, Einstein's an interesting example too. He was kind of an awful human being to his wife, but I'm quite sure he had a lot of women attracted to his big brain. probably more so now, but so where were we? I kind of lost my train of thought.
we were talking about intelligence and attractiveness. I mean, I know that a lot of women focus on, you know, outer beauty, and you got to look this way and do this thing.
Gosh.
But I think, you know, what's your view on that? I mean, how much is it really looks versus intelligence and personality?
This is going to segue nicely into two things we should talk about here. You know, like we said before with the elephant, it's going to go after the inappropriate. It's going to go after what it deems as desirable, and the male elephant is going to say, "Wow, that and don't be grossed out here, but that 13-year-old woman that is now at reproductive age, wow, she's sexy, I want to mate with her." And I'm using the inappropriate to explain an extreme, and to explain this concept, I'm using an extreme. So the animal brain really does desire these things because it wants to reproduce, and it wants to reproduce with the most viable person, and a young woman is going to give him offspring. But it ain't going to last. And like I said, I live in Vietnam, and we talked about sexual tension before.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I see – it's shocking how many old men I see with, like, 18-year-old girls.
Oh, wow.
And I'm 38, and I do not consider myself an old man. I'm talking like 60, 65.
Uh-huh.
And why are these – so what is their balance? I mentioned three things. You know, first, you need congruency, or you need to be similar. You need to have sexual tension, and then you need to have balance in the relationship. So those two, they don't really have a lot of sexual tension except the negative physical. Which is fleeting. So they are in an exchange. His money, his support for her body, her vagina. And it seems like a perfectly valid exchange. But there's not healthy tension there. that tension is not going to last. That sexual tension is very fleeting because there's nothing there to sustain it. Now, first of all, what tension does she have? Oh, he has money. He's going to take care of me. That's sexy. No, that's not going to work. And then the tension that he has is purely on the physical. She's bringing nothing else to the table. She's bloody 18 and he's 65.
Yes.
There's nothing else there. So is beauty that important? Okay, well, let's take two people the same age. The woman is beautiful, the man's average, and he's successful. So this still comes down to a bit of a financial exchange. He's going to take care of her, he's going to be the breadwinner, and she's going to be the hottie. Mm-hmm. Well, once again, you step into the fleeting physical. And in, 10 years, he's probably going to be tripling his income. And what value did she bring that's increasing? Nothing.
True.
It's
yes.
decreasing. That physical exchange is decreasing. So attraction based purely on the physical is a losing battle. It's just not going to work.
It's not sustainable, I guess.
Sustainable.
Yeah.
And maybe it will last 5 years at the most, 10 years, and then everybody's going to cheat on everybody because there's no chemistry there. The physical mm-hmm. doesn't count.
Mm-hmm.
And that's... Go ahead.
So I guess everybody, every man, every woman has to develop some sort of personality in order for any kind of relationship to be long-term or sustainable. Would that be correct?
Absolutely. Not only personality, but positive aspects of that personality. I mentioned to you earlier that absolutely the book Why Men Love Bitches. Now, I haven't read this book, to be fair, but it grates my teeth a little bit because men love bitches for the wrong reason. and it's like, yes, we all know that one girl who's just such an awful person, and men are falling all over themselves. And inevitably, she marries this really nice guy and treats him like shit the rest of his life. Now,
yes.
Now, I said before is that human beings aren't necessarily seeking happiness. They're seeking a lack of boredom. And so that's what she brings to the table for him. She brings a lack of boredom, and she's evil, and she's awful to him. And, of course, this goes the opposite direction. You know, why do women adore dicks? And it's there's this power vacuum, and people want their ego back. And also this awful tension, this awful negative tension. And inevitably, after they fight, they have sex. And it's probably good, and they stay together.
And then the cycle continues.
It's like, I love you, honey. I'll never do that again until I'm bored.
Yes, I think that that's very profound what you just said, that we're not actually looking for happiness. We're actually looking to not be bored. That is so profound.
And that entertainment can come in a negative way or a positive way.
Yeah.
And this is why women and men will sleep with somebody married. I hear one of the questions I get from my blog all the time, which is incredibly frustrating. I want to like pull my hair out. Is I have this huge problem, and you probably haven't heard this before, but I really need him to leave his wife. And I'm like, oh God. And inevitably it's always the same situation. He's a wealthy man and he's her boss and he's 10 years older.
Oh.
So all the tension is going one direction. It's inappropriate for her to be sleeping with a married man and her boss and with an older man. And then he's going the other direction. It's inappropriate to be sleeping with my secretary and she's younger. And this is non-sustainable tension. So as soon as like he divorces his wife and gets into bed with her, well, boom, all that tension is gone.
Absolutely.
Because she's no longer married. And, it's no longer inappropriate. She quit, and it's like,
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. Yeah, that is so true. And it's just an indication of how many of us are just so operating from our elephants and really don't have much of a control over our own decisions.
Yes. Our junk food impulse is off the charts. We just want to be entertained, and whether that be negative or positive.
Mm.
So I think it's imperative for us to create a type of positive tension with our partner that is based on respect, intelligence, morality, a level of right and wrong. And we don't create this vicious cycle of negative tension in order to sustain our relationship, because like I said, those fights, the negative attention, it's unsustainable. You gotta keep feeding it and feeding it. And so, hey, let me cheat on you so you feel jealous and we feel sexually attracted again. Hey, good idea.
So would you have any suggestions for women to actually build this positive, sustainable sexual tension instead of, you know, sort of subconsciously heading down the negative direction?
Well, first of all, it starts with you. When you really fully develop yourself and you're a great person and you feel good about your job, your life, your decisions, you're very moral, you understand right and wrong, you've mastered your elephant, then you're ready to find somebody that really matches you. Because we've probably heard this before, the world is your reflection. Mm-hmm. So if you are not that great person, if you don't stand out, if you don't feel confident, and you're still kind of young and kind of clueless, and your morality is a bit challenged, and you just slept with your boss, then you're not ready for that commitment, and the reflection the world is going to give back to you is something ugly.
Mm-hmm.
So if it first starts with you, and knowing right and wrong, knowing what you want, and bouncing off a bunch of relationships, and knowing when to leave those relationships when they're too negative and you feel that only negative tension is driving it, then eventually you're going to pinball your way into who you really are. And hopefully that's a positive, healthy person. When you reach that level, then you're ready to look in the mirror and find you're the correct reflection for you.
Right. Yes, and, I totally agree. So, sorry, continue.
And that's when you find the right match, and that's when it all works, and then it's just magic. And I have magic right now.
Yes, I mean, I can't believe someone who's so adamant about open relationships, you know, 12 months later, you know, they're happily committed and they're engaged. That's what women love to hear. That is like a success story.
Let me be fair. I'm not adamant about open relationships because I've only had a few of them. And usually it was not as wild as some of the friends I have that do them. It was more, I live 3,000 miles away from you. Please don't make me be sexually exclusive. That's ridiculous. You know, go have fun, use a condom. I'll do the same. If you want to tell me, go ahead. I'd prefer not to know. But then this last relationship that I was in, like, I would have never met my current fiance if I hadn't had an open relationship with the girl I was dating previously.
Right.
And I'm, because if you're not ready, if that person is not the perfect person, why are you closing the doors to every other person out there? Because your perfect person could be right there, but you haven't developed a relationship because you're exclusive and, oh gosh, I can't get to know you better because I'm with this person who's absolutely wrong for me.
Yeah, absolutely. So talking about that, would you recommend women to want to desire a monogamous exclusive relationship with a man? Because, you know, there's so much controversy to do with this. There's so many people who are so for open relationships, and there are so many people who would never do it, and then there's a lot of people in between. What are your thoughts on that?
In doing my research for this this upcoming book, Reasons Why He Won't Marry You, I stumbled onto a website of this older woman who teaches women how to absolutely get a man to commit. And her number one rule, which made me puke in my mouth a bit, was don't ever sleep with him until that ring's on your finger. You absolutely can't sleep with him. And I just sat there just gawking. And her excuse, which was valid, but very 1950s, was when you start sleeping with him, you're not going to be able to emotionally contain yourself, and you're going to push for commitment, and it's going to drive him away. And this is true. This is true. But I really would like to believe that women can control their elephants. I say, yeah, you're going to get a big dose of oxytocin because you had an orgasm. And yeah, you're going to be a bit irrational. But just like when my girlfriend made me jealous, I had to walk away and have a talk with my head. You got to do the same thing, because I don't want women to be asexual automatons just waiting for the perfect guy, and it ends up he has a 5 or a 4-inch penis and it's miserable. I think 5 would be acceptable, but
Sorry.
You know, well, sex is a huge component in any relationship, and I believe that I want to drive the bloody car before I buy it.
Yes, I think that's definitely from most men's point of view.
That's from a lot of women too. I hear a lot of women talk about this. You know, I believe, especially with American women, they demand a certain level. They have a certain sexual expectation. I think women are much, much better about that in the West. Vietnam, they could care less.
Right.
What's that? I mean, seriously, my fiance had never had an orgasm until she met me, and she'd never had sex longer than 5 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah, and I went, you got to be kidding me. This is awful. And the Western world, women are starting to understand so much more about their own needs and their own sexuality, and I love that. And God damn it, demand some good sex. So, sure, I think women should drive the car beforehand, and there's nothing wrong with taking on the viewpoint that a lot of men have.
Absolutely. And I think in terms of getting a man to marry you, what I tell women a lot about it is just if you provide enough value to the table and you sort of inspire him and get him to know how important a commitment is, then he would be happy to do that.
Yeah.
You know, there'll be nothing that would stop him, because if you give man freedom and not restrict him, and still you are vulnerable and soft enough to want his presence, his physical presence, then he's more than happy. He'll be delighted to be there and commit. That's what I believe.
I believe that too, because my girlfriend adores me, and she despises when I leave, but she never tells me no. I say, honey, I'm going on a trip with a couple of my friends, and she says, okay, when are you going to be back? I said, 3 or 4 days. She says, 3. No, my tough mafia girl gets all soft, but she never says no. She gives me that freedom. She understands, and she brings so much value to the table.
Yeah, I think that's so important, so important. I think every woman who's listening to this call should definitely take that and write that down. You know, it's the value that you provide. It's men need their freedom, and you know, the more you try and box them in and restrict their freedom, you know, he's going to freak out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, put a back door on that jail cell. Let him leave every once in a while. And allow yourself to leave every once in a while. But just don't necessarily invite anybody else into that cell unless that's agreed upon. And that's the way things are now with me and my fiance. We're exclusive. So it's a first in my life.
And the thing is that you're happy though.
I'm ecstatic.
I mean, so many women think that, you know, men just don't want to commit, or men. I mean, I tell women all the time, it's the fact that, you know, men will commit to the right one.
They
will never commit to just the average Jane on the street. That's not going to happen.
This is no longer the 1950s. You know, we want more, and we demand more, women and men. And this is what I said about when you really feel you're in the right shell, that's when the perfect man's going to show up. And so when you really kick some ass and you really understand men and yourself, that's when you're going to have that perfect union.
Yes.
And I have just hit that point in my a few years back. I really got it. And my fiance hit that point probably only a couple years back, but we both felt comfortable in our own shoes, and we're like, I don't really need to get married, I don't need another partner, and boom, that's when it happened. We found the perfect person. So we developed ourselves first. And so having a focus on marriage, having a focus on commitment, that's not the focus. The focus is you. And once you have it, then that person can come.
Yes, I think, absolutely. And I think the education and the awareness and the consciousness that I think in this day and age we'll have to develop first. And I know that you've got a few books yourself which help women discover themselves and discover more about this. You have a book called, let me just check it out. you have a couple books on texting. Is that correct?
Yeah, that was fun. I accidentally got attention from Google from a few posts I did on texting. So I wrote down a little texting guide, and then it turned into, you know, an 80-page book. And I got such a kick out of it because it's really fun. And it's shocking how many people have learned so much more about relationships just through a book on texting etiquette.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, you've got a few of them sort of collected now. You've got another one coming up. So.
Yep. I've got another one called X to Next. That's kind of the flagship, but it doesn't sell to the same degree. But I still absolutely love this book. It's about, for married women, getting back into the relationship game. And I teach how to get back in, you know, how to bring yourself back to the state where before you were married, because a lot of women feel very insecure about getting into that relationship again. And I think it's a funny, funny book. I co-authored it with divorce guru Kim Hess, mm-hmm. and I adore that. So that's From X to Next. And I guess you'll put a link or something.
I'll definitely give a link down the bottom. And what's the plan from now on? What can we expect from you in the future?
I got the 101 Reasons He's Not Going to Marry You. I actually worked on it this morning. I imagine that will be out in a month or two. Mm-hmm. There's another book I'd love to write called What You Forgot Again About Men. That one kind of makes me giggle because, I mean, this is our elephant. Our elephant has a completely different agenda, and we can tell our elephant 1,000 times over that men don't like this, but the elephant says, no, you know, I want commitment, and then the elephant screws it up. So we need constant reminders to be able to train our elephant and do the right thing. Mm. I got a few titles here, but they're not as witty.
You do come up with good titles, and I guess we can expect you to stay in this this arena for a lot longer in the future and help way more women in the future. Is that correct?
I've got about 10 more books in me, and then I'll probably turn to children's fiction.
Is that before or after sharing the stage with Tony Robbins? And
I'm just joking about that. I very much enjoy being anonymous. Like you mentioned before, Cosmo contacted me. But you didn't mention is that I turned them down. Mm-hmm. I'm not interested in building myself up. I'm not interested in the limelight. I'm not interested in seminars. And I've been asked by the Dr. Drew show. I turned them down. It's about every 2 months somebody contacts me, and I just say no thanks. There's a TV show in New York that they wanted me on, and I just enjoy being anonymous, writing, and hanging out in Vietnam with my fiance. So it's a good life.
Oh, that's fantastic to hear, and congratulations again for being engaged, and all the best to you regarding your wedding. And if for all the women out there who want to get in touch with you or your work, where can they find you?
My website is mikethemasterdater.com, and that's dater, not bater. And, and my email is exactly the same, mikethemasterdater@gmail.com. Unfortunately, I'm not doing consultations when I write books, but I do consultations sometimes. So if you'd like to email me and you have a little bit of time, I could probably do a consultation later.
Fantastic.
Which is also an interesting part of the business. I do consultations almost daily.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for your time. I know you're probably very busy between books and stuff. So thank you for taking the time out in your day to have a chat with me.
No problem.
It's been fantastic. I think there's just plenty of value, a ton of value in what we went through over the last hour or so.
It would have been nice to go through sexual tension a bit more. Maybe next time
do another one of these. Yeah. Absolutely. There's just so much that we can cover, and there's so much more that we want to cover.
And I very much enjoy what you brought to the table. You're very well educated, and you know a lot about your field. So nice to talk to somebody so intelligent and and similar to me. It seems like you are a very empathetic guy. Very nice to hear.
Yeah, it does seem like we have a lot in common, actually. The stuff that you've learned about, and it's the stuff that I just learned about, and you know, we'll definitely talk in the future. We'll probably do another couple of these interviews, just because there's just so much more that I think we can bring to the table.
Sure, absolutely. And maybe we can work together in the future on something else.
Absolutely. All right, thank you for your time.
Yeah, my pleasure. My pleasure. All right. And ladies, take care. Goodbye, and stay in touch.
Goodbye.